dedicated to trots racing. On Winners, welcome to Gate Speed.
And let's talk trots at 14 minutes to 12. And joining us, Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. How are you, boys?
Yeah, good, Nud. Really looking forward to chatting about what's going on in the last week or so, because there is a bit going on, a bit of moving station situations for some big races coming up. So plenty to talk about, Jase.
Yeah, an enormous weekend, really. It kicked off at Wavell on Friday night. I was fortunate enough to be there, so that's pretty extraordinary.
What did you think? Like, you know, because you know I'm a South Australian. My family, my grandfather used to tell me every Saturday night they'd go to Wavell.
I'm telling you now, they all came back. It was jam-packed, honestly. I went there, and you knew it was a retro theme, a Back to the Future meeting. We haven't raced there for almost half a century, and I thought, this is going to be really interesting. But within a race and a half, you were totally consumed by the action. The intimacy of the venue was something to behold. They were high-fiving the drivers after the race. They were screaming from the battle lap, which is, of course, only 500 metres out. It's a 510-metre circuit. But really, I mean, everyone now quickly is moving on to how do we replicate this? What lessons can we learn? But I think to some extent you just have to take it in isolation and think, what a great branding exercise it was in South Australia. They did a magnificent job to pack the venue out, more than 8,000 people there. And you couldn't do it every 6 weeks. You might be able to do it every year. In fact, I'd love to see it happen every 12 months. But rather than looking forward and the lessons that we can learn, I think the most important thing is to celebrate the success that was Friday night at Wavell.
Yeah, look, we'll start on that point, Blake. And everybody tells me what the trots used to be like at Wavell because of the design of the short track and the tight course. It's almost like a velodrome. It's very similar to cycling where you just hear everything. And that's what captivates people. Like now with the bigger tracks, of course, you're so far away from the action and you don't actually hear what's going on. But what things used to be like at Wavell, it used to actually feel like you were in the race. And I suppose that's what the new atmosphere that people experience that they probably haven't before in harness racing.
Yeah, and that's something that people talk about with the old showgrounds track, isn't it, in Victoria? And, you know, it's something that you can almost feel through the TV. I was at Tabcorp Park Melton on the weekend, same night, and I was watching on my phone on Sky 2, watching the coverage, and you could feel the excitement and sort of the buzz around the track. So there's no doubt about it. Certainly I'll be there next year if they play it again. But, Jase, you mentioned you can't do it every 6 weeks. I know you can't do it every 6 weeks, but I don't know why you couldn't do it two or three times a year. You don't need to get a crowd of 9,000 or 10,000 there every time you race, but if you still get a crowd of 4,000 or 5,000, say, four times a year, I think it's a worthy exercise. And I'd be very surprised if after the weekend other states weren't looking at options to race at showgrounds-type tracks, because, look, although you're going to have a lot of racing where leaders do dictate and win, I still think the atmosphere it creates amongst the crowd, and as Nud sort of alluded to, having everyone so close, you can pack them right around the outside of the track. Obviously, the days of big screens makes it easier to sort of see the race from whichever vantage point you get. So I think it's something that everyone, each state needs to look at to see what they can do to try and replicate it, and I don't see any reason why it couldn't be three or four times a year.
It's probably a tool. It's probably a tool that you can use. Let's be honest. As far as turnover, it may not be the best turnover driver, okay? That's probably the negative when you look at it, when you analyse the dollars and cents, but you probably are taking a heck of a lot more trackside as far as all your food, your beverage, you know, your admittance into the track and any other events that they do have their trackside. But I think what it does is it actually does so much for the brand of the sport, because what it's doing is it's exposing harness racing to maybe a wider audience that normally just don't go week in, week out, and it may form a lot more love for the sport for new goers.
Well, I'll tell you one thing now, a staggering thing that I did here. Now, I wasn't expecting turnover would be significantly down or anything, but it was up.
It was up on
general meeting. So, in fact, it ticked every box imaginable. It ticked the attendance box, it ticked the atmosphere, branding exercise, about 5 ticks next to its name. And it also ticked the turnover box. So I must admit I didn't have a huge bet during the course of the night. I was being consumed more by the atmosphere and trying to bring that atmosphere through the interviews with the drivers and whatnot. But look, it ticked every conceivable box. It is really interesting. They're going to have to sit down. The problem for the other states is you need a track. We don't have that track. The Showgrounds doesn't have a track anymore and can't have one, unfortunately. The Valley, it comes into play again. It's not as intimate quite as Wavell Showgrounds, but I'm sure people will be looking at ways of trying to bring sort of harness racing back to a metropolitan venue to some extent for a start. That's a big plus because it gets people to the track. Now, people will say, make the argument, well, they weren't coming in the dying days of some of the other metropolitan tracks. But the truth is, isn't it like this in life? You don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Mm.
So when they do take the opportunity to bring these things back, people say, actually, yep, I really do want to go now. I've wanted to go out to Menangle, I've wanted to go out to Melton, I just can't get there. But if you bring it back into the city, I will go now, as long as you don't overdo it. And it's trying to strike that balance that we're speaking of, trying not to burn the concept, but do it just often enough that it keeps people, it whets the appetite. And another big aspect of it in Adelaide on the weekend, it was a reunion for a lot of people. You know, you were walking around the crowd, many people probably hadn't seen each other for 10 or 15 years, and that includes the drivers. Lance Justice was running into people left, right and centre he hadn't seen in years, same with his brother John, same with Kate Gatt and Greg Sugars. So it was a real homecoming for harness racing in South Australia, and they do get knocked at times, but really I thought this was an exceptionally brave move and by all measures a terrific success.
Let's talk about some other points. Guys, we'll get through these. Carlo jogs in Maryborough Cup on the way to Inter.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll let Jace roll here because he'll obviously have himself pretty wound up to talk about San Carlos when I'm on the weekend. He's going to, I'm sure, try and say that I knocked the horse and I said the horse was no good, which is entirely untrue. But, look, he was brilliant at Maryborough on the weekend. He ran really strong time. It clearly didn't look like he was doing such as sort of Lockie alluded to in the call, a couple of times. But he ran really, really strong fractions. And his last four quarters of the last mile were over staying trip extraordinary. And he sort of dug in at the top of the straight. My field marshal did throw down the gauntlet, but he just got away from them again. It was a very tough win. Bon, I think it's sort of the blueprint. I know he showed gate speed. I'm not going to, again, knock him, but I think it was probably a bit exacerbated by the way the ones around him began. I don't think he'll cross any quick horses, but I think it's sort of a blueprint in how to drive him. He has to be up front in the field making it a staying test because he's a very, very strong horse, as we saw on the weekend.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. So this is his forte, right? He can run an exceptional number of very quick sectionals without probably having that crazy speed that he can come from 20 metres off them and run them down. That's not the kind of horse he is. My field marshal went sensationally well in the same race, but driven to his strength, which is sit sprinting. Yes, he had to come out three wide on his own. It was a massive performance, but San Carlo was also absolutely outstanding. And the thing about that gate speed, I think you're right. I think if he draws six in a Victoria Cup, he's not going to be able to cross them. It's going to play heavily at Gloucester Park if he draws well, though. We know if you draw one, two or three at Gloucester Park, it's a much bigger advantage than most other metropolitan tracks. So that's the main goal for him now. He's 50-50, we're told, to go to the Yarra Valley Cup before going to the Inter-Dominion. He's definitely going to the Inter-Dominion. And as I say, if he draws well in his heat, he's going to call a fight for the final, and it's like Richmond versus Adelaide in the grand final. All you've got to do is get to the grand final and anything can happen.
Our next point that we learnt was Meade has sparkling success in the Maryborough Trotters Cup.
Yeah, this is it's sort of an ode to last week on the program, isn't it? When we spoke to John Meade about sparkling success, he sort of flagged that the horse was going as well as ever, maybe even better than ever, and maybe you'll be able to recant to some degree here, but I think in any sort of grade, sparkling success, he's a seriously tough customer, and that's what won him the race on the weekend. He was very strong, and I think in any race, he can be driven tough and be really competitive, and that was sort of borne out on the weekend.
Yeah, it was an exceptional win. I mean, I've had that many comments on our interview with John Meade last week. Isn't he just a superstar? We should have him on every week. He can have his own segment. But he gave us the heads up that he thought that the horse wasn't 100% fit, or he might have left him a touch underdone. First up from a break, ran a terrific race, as we know, in the Bill Collins Mile, but he was a different horse again on the weekend. And right now, it has to be said that our square gating ranks probably aren't as strong as they've been in the last few years, so he has got a really big opportunity at the moment to win some serious races if he stays in this kind of form.
And next point as we head across the Tasman is Lazarus Land's Kaikoura Crown in New Zealand Cup warm-up.
That's all it really was, wasn't it? It was just a warm-up for Lazarus because despite having to sit parked, he crushed his rivals. You would look at it, it was a small field. It probably doesn't look an overly strong field on paper. Titan Banner was his main danger, but getting into a New Zealand Cup in a fortnight's time, they're not going to get much stronger. It's just the lay of the land at the minute in New Zealand. Obviously, Tiger Tara will provide some interest given how well he ran in the Victoria Cup, but he's just in a different zone at the minute, Lazarus. And I think, Bon, what we probably learnt at Miracle Mile Time last year is that he's a real stayer. He gets better as the distances get longer. We saw that in the New Zealand Cup last year. I suspect he'll do a similar job on them this year and win by a big space. So he's just that athletic type, isn't he? The further they go, the better he gets.
Well, and look, I say this all the time with harness racing, that you can win by 40 metres when you're in front. You can do exceptional things, run time, whatever. It's a completely different world if you have to sit parked in a race. That's when we find out if you've got the versatility to overcome adversity in the biggest Grand Circuit races. What he did on the weekend was thorough. It's as arrogant a performance as I think I've seen in the last 10 years. Now, the opposition might not have been the A-plus graded necessarily, but the way he did it was just so impressive. Interesting to listen to Mark Purden. I spoke with him this morning. The horse is tired, and he's entitled to be after the run. Probably won't go to the New Zealand Cup trial, so the next time we'll probably see him is in the New Zealand Cup. So I guess in a little back of your mind, if you're thinking you might want to back something else for a fluky crack at the New Zealand Cup, the fact that this run probably did take something out of him is significant, but knowing Mark Purden, he'll be peaking again for the New Zealand Cup.
Did you speak to him about the Inter-Dominion? Because everyone wants to tell you he's going to an Inter-Dominion. I'm not overly convinced right now. Do you have a vibe on that?
He's immoral now, it would seem. And the vibe is that Have Faith in Me and Dream About Me will also be going. And in fact, Lazarus is a big chance with no Victoria Cup to stay in WA and contest the Fremantle and WA Pacing Cup. So it could be a very, very big sort of 6 to 8 weeks of action in WA if Lazarus stays over there. And I was a bit like you, I think, before this morning, Baker, but now I'm really starting to swing that he is committed to a WA trip with all three of those horses, Lazarus, Dream About Me and Have Faith in Me.
And before we go to a race commitment coming up at Goulburn, just finally, Puppet pulls off Australian Drivers Championship win.
Yeah, it was happening all across Australia on the weekend, wasn't it? Adelaide Friday, of course, Maryborough Cup on Sunday, and then Tasmania on Saturday night, where we had the Australian Driving Championships. And it's good, isn't it, Bond, to see all the best drivers going around in the same races. Obviously, draws dependent to some degree, but Puppet, I think he drove a 60-1 winner. He got the favourites home towards the back end of the card, and he got the job done on what was a really good night of racing at Hobart.
Yeah, look. I think it's great for all of us ageing gentlemen. Really, Federer is number one in the world. Cameron Smith still the best rugby league player going around, and the Puppet just keeps getting better. This is the best 12 months of his career, and he just keeps taking it up a notch. Of course, winning the Drivers' Championship on Sunday, but he just seems to be winning everything at the moment. Saturday night, I should say.
Guys, thank you as always, and we'll talk throughout the week.
Thanks, Nuts.